My dear brothers and sisters, today we hear from the Epistle of St. James as our second reading. This short letter in the New Testament is often glanced over. In fact, sometimes it's not appreciated at all, as when Martin Luther called it an epistle of straw because he didn't like what it contained. It contains very practical advice. What Luther objected to was the very direct word that says that faith without works is dead. Instead, the Epistle of St. James shows us how to put our faith into action. And in this passage that we just heard, in a very beautiful way, reminds us of the care and compassion we should have for everyone, not playing favorites, not favoring the rich and neglecting the poor. An important message in our own day, especially today, if it was not a Sunday, would be the feast of Mother Teresa of Calcutta. So we want to take that message to heart, how to embrace everyone, and especially with the church's preferential option for the poor. But St. James has something else to say, which is not in that passage, which deals with today's gospel. The miracle we have in today's gospel, Jesus cures a mute man. He cures him of his deafness as well as his speech impediment. In the first reading, we heard that one of the signs of God coming to our rescue is that you will see the deaf able to hear, the blind able to see, the mute able to speak. So in today's gospel, when Jesus performs this miracle, the people begin to understand this is who Jesus is, the one sent from God, not just to heal this one man of his physical affliction, but the one sent to heal all of us, our Savior, who comes to free us from sin. Now, the way that this particular miracle unfolds struck me this week as I was praying over that passage. He reaches for the man's ears and then for his mouth. I remember once someone coming up to me and saying, "You know, Father Joseph, God very carefully designed the human body." I nodded, "Yes, this is what my theological studies have shown me." And the person pointed out, "You know, he gave us two ears, but only one mouth, because that's the proper proportion between listening and speaking." And I kind of smiled, and then I kind of realized I'm kind of chatty, aren't I? Listening twice as much as we speak. There's something to reflect upon. And something more. Jesus could have healed the man's speech before his hearing, but he didn't. The man had two problems. Jesus went for the ears first. And then it's a little bit graphic. Jesus kind of takes some saliva and does some stuff, and you go, ooh. But there's something important about that. That Jesus wants to take something from himself and put it within us. And that's where our healing comes. And of course, for those of us who go to the holy sacrifice of the Mass and receive the body and blood of Christ in the Holy Eucharist, we know what it is Jesus wants to put within us for our healing. His divine love that comes to us in this great sacrament. But hearing first. Hearing first. Are we good listeners? What does it look like to be a good listener? In a conversation, are we just waiting for the other person to finish so then I can say my piece? Are we attentive? Are we welcoming and thoughtful about what the other person is saying? And how do we apply that to the Lord Himself? Jesus speaks to us. First of all, in the Scriptures, we call that the Word of God. So let me ask the dreaded question. Aside from listening to the Scriptures at Mass, how much time do we take to read the Bible at home? All right, let me double down on the question. Dear Catholics, do you remember where your Bible is? How much dust is on its cover? We need to listen to the Word of God. Now you say to me, oh, but it's complicated. It's tough going. Yes, there are parts of the Scriptures that are very tough going. But you and I also live in an age where we have never had more resources to help us study the Word of God. Not even that you have to carve out time at a specific moment to come to church for a Bible study. There are all sorts of wonderful books. We have more Catholic publishing houses now than ever before. We have more resources available on the internet. Any time of day or even in the middle of the night when you can't sleep, you can go on your computer and you can have your own scripture study right there, right then. We don't have many excuses for failing to enter into the Word of God more seriously. And we need to listen. It is God Himself who speaks to us in the Bible. We also need to learn to listen to homilies. Oh dear. You know, at times there are certain parishes that say, never ever put the bulletin out before Mass begins, because then the people just take the bulletin and they won't listen to the homily, they'll be reading the bulletin. I don't buy that. I give you more credit. But you know, let's be honest, there are a lot of bad and boring homilies out there, aren't there? I've suffered through numerous ones over the course of my life, and yes, I've probably delivered numerous ones through the course of my priesthood. But what is it that we seek in the homily? What is the art of listening to a homily? You see, if I come expecting the priest to be witty, the priest to be profound, and of course the priest to be concise, am I seeking to be entertained? I'll get something out of it if the priest is good enough at it. Not every priest is good at preaching. But that is not an excuse for us not to receive from the homily something that helps us, nourishes us in our spiritual life. The art of listening to homilies means that I trust that there's something even in the most boring of homilies that is meant to nourish me. And rather than waiting for it to be handed to me in a nicely wrapped package on a silver platter, I'm willing to roll up my sleeves and go digging through that boring homily to find that nugget. If you listen to homilies to be entertained, you will be disappointed. If you listen to homilies seeking some nugget to nourish your spiritual life, you will always find it. The art of listening, my dear brothers and sisters. What about listening to others? You know, there are lots of people around us, and they say all sorts of interesting things. But if we only hang out with worldly people, then we listen to worldly things. If we hang out with godly people, then we hear godly things. Not that every conversation has to be, about God, but every conversation has to be within the context of our relationship with God. Do we open ourselves up to being nourished through the people God puts around us? You say, well, unfortunately, I don't know that many godly people. Well, congratulations, you belong to a parish with 750 households. Come, get involved, spend time, and you will meet godly people. We are meant to be encouragement and support for one another as we walk that narrow path of the gospel. And all of us are works in progress, and none of us has a crystal ball to always have the perfect thing to say. But if together we try, then the Holy Spirit is at work. Then we can help one another. And what about those godly people who've gone before us? Do we carve out any time for spiritual reading? The lives of the saints or the teachings of the saints? In today's flock note, I have some quotes from Mother Teresa of Calcutta. She was no great theologian. She didn't write any great treatises. But even her short, simple little statements are so deep and rich, you could spend all day pondering them. That's the genius of the saints. They let God shine through them. Are we open to listening to the wisdom of the church, the wisdom of the saints, the wisdom that comes to us through so many spiritual resources available today? Jesus commanded the man of the gospel, be open. Let's be open to listening. Then Jesus cured the man's speech impediment. Let's think about that as well. And this is where the Epistle of St. James comes in really handy. St. James speaks about the tongue like the rudder of a ship. This big ship is guided by this little thing. You and I, so much of who we are and how we act is guided by what we say. St. James also compares it to the bridle with a bit on a horse. That large animal is controlled by this little thing in its mouth. So it is that you and I direct the course of our lives and how we are to be an instrument of God's love. We say yes to that or no to that by what comes out of our mouths. It is the most common sin in the entire world, sins of the tongue, sins of speech. What we say, how we say it, about whom we say it. Yes. Too often, we don't even confess these sins because they're just part of the normal fabric of our lives. We talk about one another. We talk about one another's flaws. We explode in anger. We give a witty remark, but it draws blood. We're sarcastic. We tear others down rather than build them up. We misuse our tongues. We need healing. By being open to listening to the Lord, He prepares us in how we are to speak. To speak the truth. To speak in charity. You know, truth isn't very popular. Truth is not well received because it challenges us. And charity, not very easy. Look at the brokenness of the world. Look at how divided we are. Look how tense everything is. Charity is not easy. But everything you and I say should be married to both truth and charity. That is of Christ. And what do we say? You know, let me ask you, has anyone here ever talked about the Minnesota Vikings? Let's raise our hands. Have you ever talked about the Minnesota Vikings? All right. Okay. Those of you who didn't raise your hands, have you ever talked about the Green Bay Packers? All right. What about the Twins? Right. We can have some wonderful conversations about these, and they can be passionate, right? And you know what else we do? We even dress in purple, and it's not Lent or Advent. We can get all worked up, and we can talk to others, and we can cheer and groan and all of those things. Now let me ask you, when's the last time you spoke to another person about Jesus Christ? Because we Catholics are pretty poor at sharing our faith. No excuse. It's not just, well, we're Catholic, we're bad at that. No. We invented evangelization, folks. Jesus had 12, one betrayed him. Those 11 set the world on fire. And the church spread throughout the entire world. The reason there are over 1 billion Catholics in the world today is we're really good at evangelization. So no excuses for us right here, right now, in not doing it well. We're giving ourselves a free pass that Jesus didn't give. Jesus said, go therefore and make disciples of all nations. He didn't say, if you don't feel comfortable, you don't really have to talk about me. It's okay. He never said that. Go to your Bible. You won't find it. Evangelization, folks. Speaking to others about Jesus. If I am convinced that Jesus is my Savior, what would be more important in my life than that? And why wouldn't I speak about what is most important to me with those around me, especially with those whom I love? Why would I not speak to them of Jesus? Because they need Jesus too. Jesus isn't some nice optional thing to have in our lives. My dear brothers and sisters, we need to be far more convinced about the importance of Jesus than our favorite sports team. We have to be far more willing and generous in speaking about Jesus than speaking about or demonstrating loyalty to our favorite team. You and I need our speech to be healed. We say so many frivolous things. We gossip about things. But we don't speak about what's most important. Jesus, heal us. Heal our ears that we may listen and be full of what you want to say to us. Jesus, heal our mouths that we may use our tongues to speak in truth and charity and share joyfully and generously the saving news of our Redeemer. Jesus is Lord. Let's not wait for the angels to announce that to everyone. You and I have been invited. You and I have been commanded. Let's be open to God and open our mouths in His praise.